Hello, and welcome to the SEEP audio tour. This will be split into 5 separate parts. SEEP is short for Stormwater Ecological Enhancement Project. It was created in 1998 by recontouring the existing stormwater basin. The goal of SEEP is to develop a stormwater retention basin that improves wildlife habitat, enhances water quality, and provides an area for research and education. As you move along the boardwalk, you'll begin to notice a transition, also known as an ecotone, between the upland ecosystem hugging the trail and the wetland ecosystem a bit further right. The wetland ecosystem exists because frequent flooding and soil saturation reduces oxygen levels in the soil and alters the overall soil chemistry. Wetland plants have a special adaptation that enables them to pass oxygen out into their roots so they can survive in these soil oxygen conditions while upland plants cannot. As you walk, look for other changes in vegetation. Many of the plant variations are due to differences in depth, duration, and flow of water in the area. Stopping at the kiosk on your left, you can begin to see the retention pond, which lies at the heart of the SEEP project. Stormwater runoff collected from roofs, sidewalks, and pavement nearby is channeled to the SEEP basin through underground pipes. Anything that can be picked up by or dissolve in water will be carried here. Most of the sediment in front of you and on the right came from the parking lot up the hill. Many stormwater culverts do not empty into retention basins such as this one, but instead discharge directly into bodies of water. For this reason, it is important to keep trash and other potential pollutants away from storm drains, because it is much easier to reduce pollution at its source than to try to remove it later.
Please continue to part two.
Looking toward the Phillips Art Center, you will see the forebay of this enhanced stormwater basin. It is designed to capture most of the particulate matter that is suspended in the incoming water. These particles are some of the main pollutants in stormwater runoff, and often contain, or have attached to them, heavy metals, fertilizer, oil, grease, bacteria, and viruses. By slowing the flow of stormwater, many of these particles will settle to the bottom where they will be broken down, thereby improving quality. The forebay area was also planted with species that are known to take up heavy metals. This is important because heavy metals can't really be broken down like organic particles can. The use of plant species with high treatment potential is an important component of SEEP that helps improve water quality. About 85% of the stormwater entering SEEP passes through the forebay, and most of the particulate pollution and pesticides are removed in this area. This also makes SEEP different from other stormwater basins in appearance and function, because it incorporates and balances biodiversity. As we move along, you'll begin to see the hydraulic control structure on your right. This weir separates the forebay from the rest of the basin. This structure increases the water treatment potential of the forebay by maximizing the time that stormwater remains there. During a storm, runoff water begins to pile up, but only when there is enough rainfall will the levels in the forebay rise above the V-notch in the weir. If you'll go a bit further, you'll notice the cypress trees all around you. Unlike most stormwater basins, SEEP was planted with numerous species, including cypress trees. Cypresses used to be common in the forested wetlands throughout the southeastern United States, though that has changed in recent years. All of the trees you see here were planted in 1999. You may notice that some of the trees have grown larger than the others. This is due to localized differences in soil nutrients and flooding duration. As you move along, you'll begin to see the berm vegetation that separates the forebay from the rest of the basin. Notice the drastic variation in plant life between both areas. These differences come down to hydrology. Because the berm is higher than the surrounding wetland, the duration and frequency of the flooding here is reduced. The hydrology varies between the left and right sides of the berm as well. The topographic variation that this berm brings to the basin significantly increases the number of plant species that are found in SEEP. To your right, you'll see tall cattails in the basin. During storms, cattails hidden behind the trees filter water from the UF Cultural Plaza into the basin. Cattails are native, but are often considered a nuisance because they can crowd out other native vegetation when excess nutrients are present. However, cattails remove excess nutrients from the water and help improve overall water quality downstream, so that cattails and other nutrient-loving plants are less likely to grow in the rest of the basin.
This is part 3 of a 5-part series.
As you move along, you'll see the ephemeral wetland and sinkhole on your right. You may notice vegetation that is different from the rest of SEEP. This is because for much of the year, this area has no standing water. As such, the plants here have to tolerate both wet and dry conditions. On your left, you'll see the shallow treatment marsh. Stormwater leaving the forebay travels through the shallow marsh in the foreground. Additional nutrients are removed from the water by the plants in this area before it enters the pond. Unlike most stormwater basins, the ecologically enhanced design of SEEP regulates water flow internally, redirects the flow using berms, and creates deep water pools. This complexity increases the plant and animal habitat, as well as the water treatment potential. When it rains, the forebay rapidly fills with water and slowly releases the cleaner water into the rest of the basin. The water then flows through the shallow marsh for further treatment and eventually enters the pond in front of you. Walk a little way off the boardwalk and continue with part 4 at the next of a 5-part series. As you walk off the boardwalk and onto the dirt trail, you'll begin to notice all sorts of animals inhabiting in and around the water. Tree frogs are one of these species you may encounter. They belong to the scientific family of Hylidae and have enlarged, sticky toe pads. As their name suggests, they are excellent climbers. Natal is home to 3 native and 1 non-native species, which are described at the kiosk in front of you. As you continue to walk, you may catch one of Natal's many insect species. Of course, they may prove elusive. When the sun goes down is when many nocturnal insects emerge from their daytime retreats to go about their business. Crickets and katydids sing to attract mates. Moths fly flower to flower, drinking nectar and transferring pollen. Fireflies flash in the darkness, and many others use the cover of night to feed or to find the opposite sex. Many nocturnal insect species are seemingly attracted to lights at night. Entomologists who study nocturnal insects take advantage of this, using light traps to collect specimens. Stopping at the first kiosk around the bend, you can see examples of wading birds, such as white ibises, snow egrets, and little blue herons. These birds rely on wetland habitats for feeding and breeding. They are also important indicators for the health of the wetlands they inhabit. The wading birds of SEEP play significant roles in the environment. By consuming small fish, aquatic insects, and amphibians, they help regulate the food web. This prevents overpopulation of smaller wildlife and ensures a balanced ecosystem. In return, Natal provides these wading birds with a wetland foraging habitat, water, and shelter. When water levels are low in the late winter and early spring, fish, amphibians, and insects become concentrated in the shallow areas and are easy prey for these birds. Migrating songbirds also use a mix of shrubs and marsh for cover and foraging. Many species of reptiles and amphibians frequent the pond during different times of the year. The value of stormwater basins as wildlife habitat is another reason to ensure that the water entering them is of good quality.
This is Please continue to part 5 part series.
Looking at the fish's kiosk in front of you, you can see the many aquatic species that live at SEEP. Natal's diverse terrain and plant communities create a variety of aquatic habitats. These habitats can be described using the following terms. Littoral, or living in shallow water near the shore. Palage, living in open water away from the shore. Or benthic, living at the bottom of the water column. 2 of Natal's fish species, the variable platy and fathead minnow, are not native to Florida waterways. Many species of these invasive fish are brought to Florida as pets, food, or for sport, but then escape from captivity. They may thrive better than expected in the wild, making life harder for native fish by competing with them for the same food and space. As you move along, watch your footing. SEEP is actually a common alligator nesting area. One or more alligators may be found in SEEP year-round, so visitors should stay on the boardwalk and designated trails. Alligator nesting generally occurs between June and July, with eggs hatching about 2 months after laying. Female alligators have been known to stay with their young for several months after they hatch, making May through October a time to be extra cautious. An alligator nested in SEEP in 2001, 2003, and 2009, each year at a different location. If you see an alligator that appears to be guarding a nest, make sure to keep away. But afterward, please report its location by emailing Natal at natal@ufl.edu. For this next part of the tour, there's a lot of ground to cover, so feel free to walk and listen. Depending on the season, the area in front of you can be dry, full of water, filled with submerged plants, or covered with floating algal.
Algal blooms are common in the spring when water levels rise and nutrients such as nitrogen and phosphorus leach from dead marsh vegetation and sediment. Although sometimes unsightly, the algal growth helps to remove excess nutrients from the water, thereby reducing the chance that they will pass out of the basin and into the environment. Preventing nutrients and other contaminants from entering stormwater runoff helps prevent algal blooms. As you continue to walk, appreciate the rich diversity of SEEP. Before enhancement in 1997, there were only 32 species of plants in the basin. Today, there are over 120 species. Initially, only a few individuals of many native species were planted as seed sources. Since then, the SEEP ecological community has been allowed to sort itself out by distributing seeds naturally throughout the basin and by recruiting new plants. This has allowed the basin to self-organize. It's kept management costs and management needs minimal. This concludes the 5-part SEEP audio tour. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, there are more available tours at Natal's other trails for your listening pleasure.